like to introduce Sister Donna Smith Packer. She's married to President Boyd K. Packer, the acting president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. They were married in 1947 and are the parents of 10 children, 59 grandchildren, and 27 great-grandchildren. The Packers are a missionary family. Sister Packer accompanied her husband to preside over the New England Mission from 1965 to 1968, taking 9 children with them. At present, the family has 6 missionaries in the field. Sister Packer has been a great support to her husband and has especially enjoyed being home with her children and filling her spare hours with family history.
Do you know who you are, little child of mine, so precious and dear to me? Do you know you're a part of great design that is as vast as eternity? Can you think for a moment how much depends on your holding the iron rod? Your life is forever, worlds without end. Do you know you're a child of God? Do you know where you've been, little child of mine? It's hard to recall, I know. Do you remember that home divine with parents who loved you so? This verse to a child by Ora Pate Stewart always brings his spirit to me. My husband and I had been married for 9 years when we heard these words from the doctor. You are not going to keep this one. As parents, we looked at the wee baby who so recently left his heavenly home. We did the only thing we could do. He was named and given a father's blessing. We prayed, had faith, and said aloud, "Thy will be done." Hours passed, and then days in our very small community hospital. Doctors and nurses continued to work with our son. At last, we heard the words from the doctor, "I believe we'll keep this one." During this experience, we as parents grew in understanding and strength and drew closer to the Lord. In a much larger hospital, 13 years later, this exact same experience repeated with our 10th child. He was named and given a father's blessing. We prayed, had faith, and once again said aloud, "Thy will be done." Hours crept slowly by. Once again, we were greatly blessed. He would live. The lessons learned years before had been repeated. Soon, President Packer was able to catch a flight for a delayed assignment in Europe. This second time, our children were older, and we reinforced our teaching of the Father's plan, the atonement, and the Godhead. In teaching our children, we also learned the basic principles of the gospel ourselves. Teaching and growth never ends with children or with parents. Sometimes I get a telephone call from one of our children. They need help or they express concern about an overwhelming new church calling. Other times they just call to report in. The boys call home to their father to get advice on practical and spiritual matters. Calling home is an important part of our family. Calling home through prayer to our Heavenly Father is a necessity. We need to help. We need his help and comfort and blessing. Sister Harold B. Lee would say, "My first good morning is to the Lord, and my last good night is to the Lord." I know she was right. We can't go too far astray if we on bended knee place a call to our Heavenly Father's home twice a day. We will receive the expected help, assurance, and peace of mind. Some years ago, two of our little boys were wrestling on the rug before the fireplace. They had reached the pitch where laughter turns to tears and play becomes a struggle. My husband worked his foot gently between them and lifted the older four-year-old to a sitting position on the rug, saying, "Hey there, you monkey, you better settle down." The little child folded his arms and looked at his father with surprising seriousness. This little boy's feelings were hurt, and he protested, "I'm not a monkey, Daddy, I'm a person." And indeed, he was a person, a child of God loaned to us for a short time, and then he would be on his own. The family, a proclamation to the world, is akin to Scripture. I read only two paragraphs. All human beings, male and female, are created in the image of God. Each is a beloved spirit, son or daughter of heavenly parents, and as such, each has a divine nature and destiny. Gender is an essential characteristic of the individual premortal, mortal, and eternal identity and purpose. In the premortal realm, spirit sons and daughters knew and worshiped God as their eternal Father and accepted his plan by which his children could obtain a physical body and gain earthly experience to progress towards perfection and ultimately realize his or her divine destiny as an heir to eternal life. The divine plan of happiness enables family relationships to be perpetuated beyond the grave. Sacred ordinances and covenants available in holy temples make it possible for individuals to return to the presence of God and for families to be reunited eternally. President J. Reuben Clark, Jr., in an address to the Relief Society Conference, said, "So Eve came to build, to organize, through the power of the Father, the bodies of mortal men, so that God's design and the great plan might meet fruition. This was her calling. This was her blessing, bestowed by the priesthood. This is the place for wives and our mothers in the eternal plan. Mother guides, entices, entreats, instructs, directs the souls for which she builds the earthly home in its march onward to exaltation. God gives the soul its destiny, but Mother leads it along the way." Catching the vision of what is expected in earth life can be obtained through scripture study, words of the prophet, and pondering the family, the proclamation to the world. And with the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, we can understand these things. We can understand the past, focus on the present, and see into the future. Work and service is required throughout our lifetime. The gospel of Jesus Christ gives answers to questions that all mankind ponders. These concepts are taught nowhere else in the world. President Boyd K. Packer has said, "There are so many unanswered questions. Why the iniquities in life? Some are so rich, some so wretchedly poor. Some so beautifully formed and others with pitiful handicaps. Some are gifted and others retarded. Why the injustice, the untimely death? Why the neglect, the sorrow, the pain?" The doctrine is simply this: life did not begin with mortal birth. We lived in spirit form before we entered mortality. We are spiritually the children of God. The scriptures teach this doctrine, the doctrine of premortal life. For his own reasons, the Lord provides answers to some questions scattered throughout the scriptures. We are to find them, but we are to earn them. In that way, sacred things are hidden from the insincere. When one knows the doctrine, parenthood becomes a sacred obligation and the begetting of life a sacred privilege. I have a personal witness that what he said was true. Having the testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ gives us confidence and courage in life. We can yield our agency to the Lord and let him manage our lives. I know it requires faith to do this, but our divine nature gives us that strength, and we find joy in our commitment and our duty. Sometimes, because of another person's agency, we cannot follow through on all our mortal commitments. The Lord loves us, understands us, and will bless us with our desires and our efforts. Our present-day servants of the Lord have made it very plain that marriage and children will not eternally be denied righteous women. The Lord is a just God. I became acquainted with the book Gospel Doctrine by Joseph F. Smith in my early married years. The chapters on priesthood and home and family have been most helpful to me. One section is called The Truest Greatness. This prophet states, "After all, to do well those things which God ordained to be the common lot of all mankind is the truest greatness. To be a successful father or a successful mother is greater than to be a successful general or a successful statesman. We should never be discouraged in those daily tasks which God has ordained the common lot of man. Let us not be trying to substitute the artificial life for the true one." When our 10 children were at home, I sometimes would wonder if our teachings were being transferred to our children. One day I noticed a drawing of one of the children. It was of the young boy Joseph Smith in the first vision. Joseph had been drawn looking up at two heavenly beings. I saw individual fingers and toes on the heavenly visitors. At that moment, it was confirmed in my heart that our gospel teachings were being received by our children. Another time, I had a great learning experience. It was a very busy day when all our 10 children were home, and somehow my day had gotten away from me. The dinner hour was near, and I recalled some sound advice my mother had given me. "You plan ahead, and you get your simple, nutritious meal going early in the day. You know the children will be hungry before the dinner hour. Use some common sense. Sometimes you may have to feed them early." This advice had been overlooked that day. I hastily moved into action. The assigned children on meal preparation came to my aid, and soon dinner was underway. I heard the hum of a busy household, and then an unusual sound in another room. I found two of the young children having a difference of opinion. I suggested that each could sit on a chair and think things over. The younger one looked at me in defiance and said, "You not in charge of me." I was a bit taken back, but I just quietly drew him aside and calmly explained that Heavenly Father had temporarily assigned me to love and to care for him. It took only a few more sentences, and he climbed up on the chair to think. Soon the dinner bell rang, and we all sat up to the table. I learned the value of prompt meals. I had been a part of the problem that day. Yes, the crisis was over, but the learning was not. As I recalled, our next family home evening lesson was on obedience. As parents, we worked together in our home. The children soon learned that we were united. The answer from father and mother were always the same. We taught the children that there would come a time when they would leave home. It was time for more schooling, a mission, and marriage. Even with the world going downhill, we had confidence they could face troubled times. We wanted them to have the fullness of life. We would always be available, but we were willing to let them go with our love, faith, and blessing. Even though we as parents knew the adversary had great power in the world, we also knew that worthy sons and daughters have power over Satan. Our children had the divine nature, and they could succeed on their own. My grandmother Jordan was a great example of one who knew her divine nature. In 1909, as a recent convert to the church, she had to make difficult decisions and took firm action, unlike her quiet, timid self. She told me she received prayerful direction, and she was empowered with vision and strength beyond her own. Because she did what had to be done, I had the blessing of being born in the covenant and having a rich heritage. I have many ancestors who have faced life with courage. Their actions have given me great advantages and responsibilities. For the past 43 years, my husband has been away most weekends in church service. This has been a productive family history time. Becoming acquainted with previous generations has given me great joy and happiness. Our family has enjoyed researching, writing, and illustrating life stories, and having the temple experience together. Knowing our ancestors and serving them has brought a richness into our lives. Our ancestors are vitally interested in our successes here on earth. I know on many occasions I have received help from the other side. I am in harmony with the thoughts of an earlier apostle, Melvin J. Ballard. I believe that hearts not only of the children are turned to the fathers, but the hearts of the fathers in the spirit world are turned to their children on earth. There is evidence that the dead are interested. If you will go forward with the research work, the way will be open on the right and on the left. You will be astonished to find the avenues open. When you have done all you can do and have reached the limit, what will happen? Then will come God's opportunity. An auntie of mine was in a nursing home. After traveling some distance, we made a final visit. Cleo and her husband Cliff were content and at peace. At one point during our visit, Cleo spoke forcefully. "I just can't lay around here. I must get on with life." She did not mean this earthly life. The Lord granted her desire. I'm certain she was welcomed by loving earthly parents and a multitude of family members for whom she had been instrumental in finding their names and seeing to their temple work. Because of the divine nature of women, We seem to be very sensitive to the whisperings of the Holy Ghost. In the home, mothers need to act as a receiving station for the communications from a loving Father in heaven. It is vital you keep worthy and alert. You must avoid getting too stressed or busy for the quiet promptings of the Spirit. While raising our 7 sons and 3 daughters, I had a few down days. The budget was very tight, physical demands were high, and I felt the expectations of others were even higher. Even though I recognized my divine nature, knew about the plan of happiness, and knew my husband was a worthy priesthood holder, I still had a few discouraging days as we raised our family. I learned that if I felt physically well, I was more optimistic and better able to cope with life. I studied and practiced the Lord's law of health. I was responsible to give my children a healthy start in life. Sleep was an essential, so we retired early. We combined this with regular attendance at church meetings, renewing our covenants with the Lord, and associating with people with similar goals helped us to stay on course. Temple attendance helped me to clarify my vision and give me a deep feeling of gratitude for all my blessings and my opportunities for growth. There was consistent help from our extended family. A box of outgrown clothing, a basket of fruit, an hour of babysitting at just the right time. The Release Society gave thrifty and practical homemaking ideas. I always felt their love and support. Music had a power to comfort, edify, and bring joy into my everyday living. Posting uplifting statements around the home as gentle reminders of what life is all about has helped me. I'll give you a few of my favorite statements. President David O. McKay said, "Whate'er thou art, act well thy part." Sister McKay said, "It is the artful duty for the woman to adjust." The scripture, "Be thou humble, and the Lord thy God will lead thee by thy hand and will give thee answer to thy prayers." There must be decision of character aside from sympathy. A statement from the prophet Joseph Smith. A 1950 Children's Friend magazine had a poem which I posted inside a kitchen cupboard door. The paper was yellow with age before our children were raised. This poem quickly brought back my focus on difficult days. "Plastic little children made of heaven's clay, O Father, give us vision to mold them right this day. Potential gods in miniature, we must have help from thee, for how they're fashioned here today will endure through eternity." There are rewards for completion of commitments and promises to the Lord. President J. Reuben Clark, Jr. told the Relief Society sisters, "The priesthood will wish to proclaim their debt to thee, these their helpmates, without whom the priesthood could not have worked out their destiny. Your offspring, saved and exalted in the presence of God, will never forget you, will ever bless you, and will sing hymns of eternal gratitude for the bodies you gave them and taught them to make the temple of the Spirit of God." My husband and I have seen some rewards of our teaching as we have watched our children, grandchildren, and now great-grandchildren. Children are always desired and welcomed in our family. Sometimes faith is tested, but we have found If we keep our covenants, the Lord will bless us.
Our grandchildren's world is more challenging than our world was, but they are doing a much better job than we did. We are grateful that other families teach their children the basic principles of the gospel, obedience to all commandments, and their divine nature. They have raised a special child so that our children and grandchildren can be married in the temple to a worthy partner. We have the assurance that the younger generation is equally yoked, having the same desires and eternal goals. They shall stand in holy places and shall not be moved. In the year 2002, we celebrated our 55th wedding anniversary with our family of nearly 100. We pondered a legacy of covenant choices. It was spelled out in a framed needlework, and this is an important part of our home. Faith in daily living and in the future. Courage in times of trial. Power in family unity, service to God and mankind, vision of eternities together. We are covenant keepers. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.